speak in the name of God, the love of the beloved and the love sharing. Amen. We had that very juicy story from the second book of Samuel this morning about David and Bathsheba. But you'll have to wait. We'll return to that next week. Today, we reintroduce the epistle reading. We've not been having the epistle, which is the letter from the New Testament, since the beginning of the pandemic. We have now reintroduced it as we begin to normalize our worship. And in this letter to the Ephesians, Paul writes, "I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." Now, Paul lived in a world in which the spiritual energy was experienced as intricately interwoven into the dimension of time and space. This was a world in which the signs of transcendence were to be seen everywhere and in everything. For Paul and the countless generations that followed, they shared what we call a pre-scientific imagination. The divine presence was experienced as deep and broad and long and high. Now, we live in a world of the post-scientific imagination. And we are people reshaped by the post-scientific imagination, in which the spiritual life is easily dismissed as at best poetic and at worst supernatural. How are we to find in Paul's words an experience that takes us beyond the mere poetic? I don't really mean mere poetic, because you know that poetry is one of the ultimate expressions of truth, but beyond an admiration for the eloquence of his words, into a lived experience of the divine, permeated with some difficulty through the membranes and filters of our post-scientific minds. And I think it comes down to a matter of perception. Perception is the way we choose to see the world. And for me, this idea of perception goes to the heart of the struggle to live the spiritual life. Whether we feel we achieve it or not, most of us know how to live a good life and a productive life, a useful life. A good life is encouraged by our religious faith. And at St. Martin's, we speak a lot about the collaboration between us and God in the very practical business of ushering in the reign of social and ecological justice. But the spiritual life is more than sound ethics and social and ecological justice. What about the kind of vivid experience of the spiritual life that Paul is directing our attention to? Of course, we love Paul's enchanted imagination. We feel the inspiration of his words, but do they have an application for us beyond the poetic? Each morning I walk our Cocker Spaniel Charlie Girl in the early hours, and I notice how busy she is following her nose. Cocker Spaniels are irresistible sniffers. They were bred to flush the game from out of the undergrowth up into the air so that the lords of the manor could shoot the birds down, and then the cocker spaniels would gather the birds and bring them back to the feet of their masters. And on our walks, Charlie Girl is always sticking her nose under bushes and into hedgerows, and it gets to be very tiresome indeed. And I often wonder, what does the world look like for Charlie Girl? On our early morning walks, the world is primarily a visual experience for me as I keep my eyes peeled to the spot in advance of what is lying on the path, knowing that Charlie would like nothing better than to find something that would fill me with disgust as she tries to eat it. I see the world not only in images, but complex gradients of color and texture. My senses of sound and smell support what I see, but my experience is primarily visual. On the other hand, Charlie Girl's map of reality is made up of a world of smells and sounds, with around 300 million olfactory receptors. Most herding breeds of dogs have about 225. Her world is alive to the dimensions of a hidden reality that my measly 6 million receptors cannot convey to me. She also hears better than I do. Young humans can hear up to a range of about 23,000 megahertz. At 66, I'm probably confined to a range of sound no greater than 12,000 hertz. Charlie, on the other hand, can detect sounds up to 45,000 hertz. And I can only wonder at how different the world must seem to Charlie Girl, a world impregnated with smells and sounds. And all creatures perceive the world through the hard evidence of their five senses, yet through a rebalancing between our senses, the experience of the world can take on quite a different shape, as is often demonstrated when we may lose one of our primary senses, our sight or our hearing. We then notice how the other senses recalibrate to compensate. And through the physical sciences, the post-scientific mind has been able to develop and deepen an understanding of the world that takes us beyond the limitation of our five senses. Technology greatly enhances our ability to see into the structures of the material universe in ways that were hidden from Paul. Yet in our world, transcendence, that sense of moreness of above and around, has been supplanted by an immanence, the sense of what lies only immediately in front of us. And staying with Paul's spatial metaphor, the post-scientific mind may see more and more into the depths of the material universe, but it has lost the pre-scientific mind's sense of height and breadth and length. It's lost its awareness of the magic and mystery of the cosmos. And the problem, at least as I experience it in living the spiritual life, we no longer expect to experience the full panorama of cosmic wonderment, shaped by the materialist philosophy of scientific naturalism. Religion is shorn of spirituality, and spirituality, no longer anchored in religious practice, becomes the domain of the weird and the fanciful. As G.K. Chesterton once remarked, when people stop believing in God, they will believe in anything. Emile Camet, a Belgian poet, wrote in similar vein, "The first effect of not believing in God is to believe in everything." For the pre-scientific mind, limited to the natural operation of the five senses, without any technological enhancement. The universe, defined by touch and taste and smell and sight, needed an additional dimension to do justice to the complexity of human experience. And the role of intuition and of imagination supplemented, filling in the gaps in the natural knowledge and experience. And intuition, that ability to know without knowing how you know, provided a very powerful extra element on the top of the sense experience. And intuition and the enchanted imagination were faculties more finely tuned in the pre-scientific mind. And in our post-scientific minds, intuition and enchanted imagination have atrophied. Today, we seek to escape the self-imposed imaginary poverty through magical realism in film and books. We don't necessarily believe in the superheroes we avidly watch and the special effects of the miracles they create, but our delight in them points to what we've lost in our sense of the height and the breadth and the length and the depth of the spiritual life. And when it comes to religion, which for most of us is now a matter of ethics and doing good, we reject the supernatural as fantasy. Yet we still crave for it in literature, art, and film. The human imagination needs more than the material universe can provide. And so what are we to do? John Hick is a philosopher, well, I think he's dead now, but a philosopher of religion that was very influential during the 60s, 70s, and 80s. And he writes that what we can know and in what form we can know it depends upon the scope and functioning of our own cognitive equipment. And he's alerting us to the task at hand concerning reclaiming what he calls the fifth dimension of experience. And in terms of Paul's spatial metaphor, the task for us requires an expansion of our sense of height and length and breadth to accompany our much enhanced experience of depth. This is something the practices and explorations of the spiritual life offer to us. The spiritual life opens us to the experience of signs of cosmic transcendence within the experience of the immanent universe. It's not a matter of stepping outside of experience. It is a matter of knowing where to look within experience. It's simply a matter of recalibrating our perception. Extrapolating on my speculation of how the world looks to Charlie Girl, maybe the transcendent is a matter more of smell and sound than of sight. Smell the cosmos.